time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Aaron Rodgers on why he took a $35 million pay cut when reworking his deal with the JTS, Jets.
And it's about guys before training camp, guys at the end of training camp that we could possibly bring in. There's obviously more trades now that we see across the league, at least bigger names at the deadline than maybe my first couple of years in the league. But, this is going to be a few years partnership. And after that, hopefully there's not a huge kind of cap issue. That's why we didn't need to backload it or put any special escalator, strange things in the contract to weigh down the organization after I'm done playing.
And Hickey, this is what I respect here with Aaron Rodgers. He goes to the Jets. It's an organization that he wants to be a part of. Not the most ideal organization, clearly, when you look at history in the NFL. He was annoyed with the way that the Packers were treating him, fair or not. And sometimes you got to make tough decisions and go draft somebody's replacement. I'm not expecting Aaron Rodgers to love that. But now he's at a place where he feels like he's wanted and he's doing all the right things right now. And he's already giving back where this may, and this probably won't result in a Super Bowl, but he's not leaving any stone unturned. And I know we all try to correlate a player right away. Oh, he takes less. So that maybe means a year from now they go get Davante Adams. Or now that means that maybe Dalvin Cook is definitely going to be a Jet. I don't think it goes to any one specific player. There could be some guys in mind, right? You know that Rodgers, whether he wants to admit it or not, he always has a wish list. But this allows them the flexibility, for the most part and reason, to do whatever they want. So if you're at the deadline this year, like let's say if Dalvin Cook ends up going to the Miami Dolphins, but if you're at the deadline this year and a running back becomes available, or the Rams then all of a sudden say, yeah, we're interested in trading Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald, it gives you the ability, if you're willing to give up the draft capital, to pounce and to afford those players. Or in this offseason, if let's say you get really close, then this offseason you go even more in than this year to get you over the hump and knock down that door to try to go get you a Lombardi trophy.
He deserves all the credit. Again, he did something we have never seen any player really do in sports. That's give money back, not rework it and push it back later on or push his guarantees like 3 years. To his credit, he literally put $35 million on the table and said, here's money. Go use it now, later, next year to make this team as best as we possibly can make it. So far, he's checking every box.
And you still don't think the Jets are going to make the playoffs.
That's right.
I love you. I really do. But you're going to believe.
I'm not buying into the offseason hype. That's all.
You're going to believe in the Broncos. You're going to believe in the Browns. Okay. You do you, hot take, Hickey. And you guys know me. I don't love the Jets. But the Jets will be in the playoffs this year as long as number 8 is healthy. Man, he's number 8 now. That's going to take some adjustment after seeing 12 for all those years. Aaron Rodgers on Up and Adams discusses why he doesn't miss the $35 million he gave back.
This $35
million? Yeah.
What are we doing?
I'm getting paid a lot of money. I feel great about it. Also, team is going to be able to do some things.
What kind of things?
Win.
What are we, the Royals?
Well, there was a guy here at practice yesterday.
Ah.
Not today.
Yeah, not today. But we'll see what happens. There's other guys out there that might be available. So, listen, I'm not missing that money at all. I'm loving what I'm getting paid. I'm loving being in New York and Jersey. Loving working with, guys I know. Some of the new guys like McCole, Garrett.
So, two things off that, Hickey. Dalvin Cook, is he using the Jets right now?
I think so.
The other thing, if you're a Packer fan, I think it's easy, and I said this before and I know you said it before, to say, oh, if I'm a Packer fan, I'd be furious. Where do you think that stems from? Like, why should Packers fans, let me ask you this way, be furious right now with Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion?
I think you could argue he held the team captive and hostage and right now, the last two, last three off seasons where you didn't know if he was going to stay or go. That impacted direct decision-making like Davante Adams, who basically cited not even the money aspect, but the fact that he didn't feel the love for the Packers, in part because the Packers are so worried about and focused on, can we get Aaron Rodgers back on the team this year? I think this is after 2020 to 2021. Can we make sure he's going to be a part on the squad? They almost ignore and put a pause on everyone else on the roster to make sure 12 is back.
So that's where I have pushback on it, because you just said it. Davante Adams left money on the table, and the Packers ignored him in getting his deal done. I understand that there was always concerns about taking care of Rodgers, but don't great GMs take care of other players and still understand that there's players that are even more important? Like, he was the second most important player in the organization. The Rodgers distraction, don't get me wrong, he could have taken less, and you could have gave Davante Adams more. In the moment, it's easy to say, but you still could have got the Davante Adams deal done and then eventually figure out what the heck was going to happen with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, you absolutely could put blame, and I think blame does belong to Brian Gutekunst for not balancing both, but also, again, you ask, like, why Packers fans should be upset, and you could directly point to the reason why he was distracted is because you had no idea. Even though I think Aaron Rodgers probably knew deep down, I'm coming back, he had no idea what his intentions were, and he kind of, in a way, I would say played the organization because he came back anyway the last, you know, two off seasons when he's kind of holding out and
leaving two his MVPs.
Future out there. But he did, again, kind of leave him waiting and hanging, and it kind of hurt their ability to figure out, are we going for it right now, yeah, or are we, with Jordan Love, going to be a developmental team that's more about 5 years down the road?
And he also lied about how close he was going to retire before he did enter the cave and all that nonsense. And also the bad cell phone connection at his house in terms of, oh, everyone knows you got to FaceTime audio him in order to get in contact. So I'll tell you, though, Rodgers the last few months has been very likable, and he's saying all the right things, and he's put it in the work. He's developing those relationships. I would be very surprised, even in a stacked AFC, if they don't make the playoffs this year. Aaron Rodgers takes offense to Randall Cobb calling him pudgy up in Adams.
You look better than ever. You really do. You look incredible. And a player, a teammate of yours, I'll let him remain nameless, used the word pudgy to describe you in the past. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Alan Lazard, I'm sure.
No, it wasn't Alan Lazard. It was Randall Cobb. It was Randall Cobb. He said that.
Cobb, he said that?
So I said, what should I talk to Aaron about? And he said, body fat. Talk to me, Aaron. He said, have him talk to you about body fat.
Because who was lower on the body fat this year?
I don't know.
Me.
That's pretty ballsy by Randall Cobb. Now, Randall Cobb and Aaron Rodgers are so close. So how many times do you bust the you-know-what of your own friends and make some jokes and you get away with a lot more? But the only reason Randall Cobb is with the Jets is because of Aaron Rodgers. Going to the you know, he used to be pudgy. Is that crossing a line right there, Hante Kiki?
Not at all. I don't think so. I think it came tongue-in-cheek or playful way.
Week one, is Randall Cobb against the Bills getting 4 or 5 catches? Or is he going to say, I'm too pudgy to get you the ball?
Maybe benched. Don't even put him on the field.
Nathaniel Hackett reacts to Sean Payton's comments about him, basically saying he was the worst coach of all time.
As a coach, you know, as a coach's kid, you know, we live in a glass house. We all live in different rooms. We all got a key for it. And it's one of those things that there's a code, there's a way things are done in that house. And, you know, this past week, it's frustrating and it sucks. It's unfortunate that that had to happen, that the comments that were made. But, hey, they did.
If I was him, you know how I would have handled this? I'm not focused on Sean Payton. I'm focused on everything with the Jets and getting the best out of our football team this year with eye control on the offensive side of the ball. Done. End of story. Because when he goes on, like, he's not, it's the Jim Irsay thing once again. It's some things are just better not said and left off better unsaid. There was no reason to respond. Yeah, you got dragged through the mud. Same with Sean Payton. He should have never said that, but he did. If you're Nathaniel Hackett, there's no reason to really respond to this here. Hickey.
I mean, I think he has to talk, so I get it. You have to answer, like, talk about it in some way. What I'll say is,
we're just focused on the Jets. Paul Belichick.
Can we also not forget how bad he was as a head coach last year?
He was horrible. He sucked.
Like, nothing. People can disagree to argue about if Sean Payton should have said it.
He should be, if it wasn't for Rodgers, he'd be what? a high school principal like Jeremy Pruitt is or whatever? What is Pruitt's job?
Show some respect. PE teacher.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Come on. PE teacher and assistant coach under his dad in high school football.
So that's actually true. That wasn't, remember when it was like Adam Gase is coaching some high school as an offensive coordinator?
Yes.
Okay.
Which was, we found, debunked or made up.
But let's be real. If it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, Nathaniel Hackett's not in a coaching staff this year, or he's like a quality control coach or something like that.
He's probably not on another staff again. Maybe it's a hot take, but you're right. He's viewed as toxic for a long time.
Well, he's clearly not getting another head coaching job. I think he could get on another staff, but it's not in any position of power.
Or visibility.
Yeah, like a quality control guy.
Right.
All right, I'm going to try this each and every time we have a Belichick clip. I have not seen this yet. Belichick was asked if Mac Jones is the starter. Huh.
What do you think he said?
It's too easy to say, yeah, he's definitely the starter. This will be my guess.
You know, it's training camp. No one's position is guaranteed. You have to compete, and we'll do it to the best interests of the team.
Go ahead.
Everybody's out here competing. It's all 90 guys. Yeah, that's what we're all here for. Just go ahead and compete.
So Mac Jones isn't necessarily your
Everybody's out here competing. Like, everybody's out here competing. That's what everybody's doing.
We asked Mac the other day how his relationship, is it good with you? And he said, I think so. I'm just curious, what's your characterization of your relationship?
My relationship's good with every player.
I know he's giving you nothing there, but he's actually giving you something. Usually Belichick would just look at you and blank stare. That answer actually annoys me. Now, it was predictable, like I said.
You know, compete. It's on training camp. We'll just compete.
But, come on. The guy's clearly your starter. You screwed him over last year. Just say he's the starter. That annoys me. Arthur Blank, who loves to celebrate things before they happen and why he believes they have found their franchise quarterback in Desmond Ridder.
I like a young quarterback, and, you know, he... You know, people look at just the last four games last year and they say, well, nah, based on those four games. But he really, you know, progressed from the time he came on campus here after he was drafted and had a good camp. And he's been a strong leader since he's shown up here, continued to develop. I think he worked well with Mariota last year, learned a lot from Marcus. And he's a learner. He's got a lot of humility. And as the year progressed, he had an opportunity to play. And I think he played at a very competitive level. The last four games, each game seemed to be a little bit better. So, you know, we feel pretty strongly that, you know, he's going to be our quarterback of the future.
Like, what else is he supposed to say? I don't know if you have to go to that measure, but I think you may want to leave out he learned a lot from Marcus Mariota when Mariota walked out of your building last year and quit on the team when he got benched. Finally, Ian Rappaport says that teams are very interested in trading for Jonathan Taylor, even though Hickey only believes a team would only be willing to give up like a fifth-round pick for Jonathan Taylor, which is just crazy, NFL Network.
There is expected to be interest in Jonathan Taylor. I know a couple at least who are planning to call the Colts just to gauge where they are. Would they really, really not trade him? And you know, then it comes down to the contract, and I do believe, based on the same information, that there are teams willing to do a real contract for him. Would the Colts entertain that? Would they trade away their best player? All of this remains to be seen. And publicly, the Colts have said they are not. But this is what's going to play out over the next couple weeks as the stalemate between Taylor and the Colts continues.
So I don't doubt that there would be at least one team. Like, I don't think it's a robust market. But I don't think there isn't one team in the league that would give up something for Jonathan Taylor and then go pay him. I do think that one team does exist bare minimum. The big question here, Hickey, is not if some team would do that, in my opinion, even though the market has been so slow and so stale. It's would the Colts and Jim Irsay go back on his word? I feel very confident that at least one team would give up like a second round draft pick or whatever and pay Jonathan Taylor. But I don't know if Jim Irsay is willing to go down that road. That's the part I struggle with more than if there's going to be a team out there that would be willing to do it.
Jim Irsay says a lot of things I don't think he should say. The one thing I guess I can give him credit for is he's not really a liar. He's not someone who says one thing and then does the other. He believed in Jeff Saturday He said it wholeheartedly. Didn't work out, but he was not lying. When he says he's not going to trade Jonathan Taylor, I do believe him.
All right, we'll do first and goal next with Leroy Horde. We will preview the Miami Dolphins.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's talk to a former NFL running back and, of course, midday host, along with Tobin in Miami on 560 WQAM, the great Leroy Horde. Leroy, how are you, my friend?
What's happening? A little tired. Just got back from Vegas.
You win some money?
A little bit, but I went to the fight.
Oh, did you? How'd you enjoy that?
It was one of the greatest fights as far as dominance that I've ever seen. For somebody to bludgeon somebody that much with counter punches, and was never really the aggressor. He's like Mayweather with power. It was unbelievable. He was very patient, and he deserved that win.
So let's get to the Dolphins here, Leroy Horde, with us.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook, how confident are you with all this nonsense and games that are going on right now that he'll eventually wind up with the Dolphins?
I'm of the belief that, look, that was a great running back. I'm not questioning his talent. But here's the situation that you have in Miami. He's going to go, he says he'll take a lesser role. But he's going to take less money. Because if he would have took less money, he'd still be in Minnesota. And so that's the question that I have, is that, how much are the Dolphins willing to give him to take a lesser role? Because look at what this offense is, how they use the offense. Even in San Francisco, they ran the ball with a number of different players. So including they'll use Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They'll use a ton of receivers. They'll run reverses and counters and all these things where they're very creative offensively that they don't really have the need for a guy who's going to get the ball 20, 25 times a game, which if Dalvin Cook wants to prove that he could be that guy, why would Miami be the spot he would go to? And so I've always had questions about that. It's not about his talent, but say if he wanted to sign a one-year deal with somebody, right? You look at the Jets. The Jets, their running back is out. They probably don't want to rush him back because he's young. He's going to get some run there. He's going to get some opportunities to carry the ball early in the season and prove his worth. He might not get a chance to do that here. So I don't really know if it makes sense for either side, even though he's a hometown guy, and that's what everybody seems to be hanging their hat on. I'm looking at it from a football perspective. It doesn't really make sense, even though everybody says he's probably going to end up in Miami.
And maybe he wants to go home, but I think you're right. I don't believe he's willing to take that much less. And I don't know what the Jets have offered him, but
right.
I think he's fine, Leroy, going to the Jets, and he'd be okay with all the things you just said. But it's clear to me right now he's trying to use the Jets to run up that price with the Dolphins.
Of course. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? And, you know, and Mike McDaniel has pretty much said he's a great running back. He'd help any team. But they're very comfortable and happy with the running back room that they have.
We talked about this before with the state of the running back position, that it's more running back by committee now, and mm-hmm. teams aren't willing to pay the bell cow back. When you see all these situations playing on out and bleep really hitting the fan this offseason, as a former running back, how do you react to it?
I just react like, you know, look, every situation is different, okay? Every team is different. You look at Miami. They wouldn't really use a bell cow running back, a guy who's going to carry it and they're going to run the offense through him. They have so many weapons throughout the offense, they don't need that. They have a very accurate quarterback. When you look at somebody like the Jets, they may or may not need it, but they've used it in the past. Very young running back got hurt, so they may want to continue to run that offense and give Aaron Rodgers, just more opportunities to succeed. If you don't have a running game and you just sit Aaron Rodgers back there and throw the football, you're asking for trouble with all the pass rushes they have in this league. You look at teams like Cleveland. You look at teams like Pittsburgh. You look at teams like Tennessee. You look at teams like the Raiders were last year. Those teams ran their offense through their running back, and for the last few years, they've had some success. There's a lot of teams that don't do that, but they rely on their quarterback. Now I ask you this. Do you trust Daniel Jones enough to not have Saquon Barkley?
I do not.
So, like, I don't understand why are you hiding behind what everybody's saying about a running back when your situation is unique to and different than everybody else's.
Yeah,
Tennessee's accepted.
Each situation is different. You're not wrong on that.
Right. So for everybody to say the same thing, knowing that, holy smokes, you have to rely on Daniel Jones, you okay, when you look at a situation like Dallas. Dallas has always had a very good running game. They got one of the best offensive lines. Okay, do you want to hang all that on Dak? If you don't have to, why do it? Dak is a very good quarterback, but if you're going to hang him right there and say, okay, we live or die with Dak, you want to do that? I've never seen offenses do that. And now all of a sudden we're starting to do that with a lot of young quarterbacks coming into the league and trying to make or break it quick, or you switch quarterbacks when in actuality – you should have other aspects of offense to give them a chance to grow and learn. And we're not doing that anymore.
Let's get to the next down. Leroy Horde here with us. Bad news, obviously, with Jalen Ramsey. The expectation is after meniscus, he'll be back in December. Can you even expect anything out of him this year when you get a guy right on the edge of becoming 30 and he suffers an injury like that?
I think you can, simply because he's been in the league long enough to know how to work around certain injuries and things like that. As you get older, you learn how to deal with it. I mean, you're banged up for probably the last quarter of your career anyway. So I think he can do it, but I'm not worried because they have, a lot of talent out there, and then they have this rookie in Smith that has proven that maybe he can do something. They signed Eli Apple, which, okay. But
Tyreek Hill and him are going to have some fun, I'll tell you that.
Right. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But when you think about Kader Kohu, when you think about Needham coming back, when you think about all these guys who have been contributors to this offense, and more importantly, You add Vic Fangio, who's going to be able to take all of this and build the defense around what they have. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing, one, that front four has put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks that didn't get a lot of sacks. When you think about nose tackle slips my mind.
Christian Wilkins?
Christian Wilkins, think about this. He's a nose tackle. He had 100 tackles last year. That's unheard of. So they definitely have the talent up front. You got Jalen Phillips. You got Chubb. They have talent to get after the quarterback. That's going to allow them not to necessarily need Jalen Ramsey because they're going to put more pressure on the quarterback and be creative that way. So I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are. Oh, no. Now they're done defensively. No, I don't believe that at all. I just think they're going to have to do some different things, maybe some things that Jalen Ramsey would have been able to do that these guys coming in, you aren't quite sure, and you just kind of play it out and see where that goes. But I do believe that defensively, they're going to be much better than they were last year. And we all talk about Tua, but the fact of the matter is the defense failed on several situations last year. They just weren't very consistent.
Let's get to the next down. You just said it. This is a well-rounded football team. This is a football team that I think, as long as the quarterback stays healthy, they could go win the division this year. Right. How about the way that Tua has just handled all this? Because it's so weird when you talk about, oh, this guy's definitely going to get hurt. I understand why people say it, but you know how this usually goes. And anytime everyone expects one thing to happen, usually the opposite ends up playing on out with the health of Tua.
Well, here's the thing. He was thrust into the starting quarterback position when everybody thought he was going to sit the first year, right? We all did. When they drafted him, everybody said, okay, he's going to get a year to heal. He's going to get his hip healed, his ankle. Everything's going to be able to get stronger, and then he'll be ready for the second year. He ended up being thrust into action his first year, and then we held it against them knowing that we never thought he was going to play. And he handled all that with what was going on with Brian Flores, and Brian Flores having zero faith in him, which is one of the only problems I've had with Brian Flores.
Yeah.
If you're a head coach, isn't it your job to get the most out of every player? So Tua didn't have to be brought here. We actually drafted him. And now you're going to say he can't play quarterback first? Well, make it work. So I think Tua handled himself like a professional, probably more professional than a lot of older guys would have handled that situation. And so I have the utmost respect for the guy. I hope he does well. The injury thing, I think last year was a fluke thing, right? Like, it's one of those things. I had a year like that, too, right? I had a year like that, and Bill Belichick even mentioned it. He said, I sat a guy out even though he was cleared. I was that guy. But you just kind of have to play it and not hope and not think about it and just go out and play football. And I think he's put himself in a position to where he has handled everything that's come his way so well that I don't have any doubts that whatever happens, he's going to be okay.
Let's get to the final down. Talking to Leroy Horde. So let me be clear. Mike McDaniel did a really good job last year. But I always feel like whenever Mike McDaniel speaks, I just don't get the joke, and he kind of creeps me out a lot. What's your read on McDaniel covered him on a daily basis?
Probably once a day we go, huh? What? But here's what I know, and here's what we always assume when a coach comes in that he's just going to be a great head coach, and head coaches have to learn too. And a lot of the things that Mike has to learn is probably as far as game ops and situations and being quicker with the plays and things like that. That's something you get. It is a big difference than being the guy, standing next to the guy that has 30 seconds to call the play, right? And so now he's that guy. And so it got a little bumpy early on. It kind of got better as the season went on, and I think he'll be better at that this year. So the offense will look even better because from top to bottom, it'll be crisper. And so he says things. He's look, that team works hard. They work hard. Mike McDaniel doesn't throw anybody under the bus. He's all the players love him. They all work hard. So I'm looking for nothing but good things from him. I'm going to see he's going to be better. Tua's going to be better. The offense will be better. The defense will be better. And I'm looking for big things from him.
This year, the Miami Dolphins are going to do what?
Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to give you the reason why. They're going to win the division.
I agree with you.
They're going to win the division because the Jets didn't beat anybody last year. And now all of a sudden we're going to talk about them winning the division. They might take a step forward, but they ain't there yet. Okay? And the one thing that scares me about Buffalo is Josh Allen has to be Josh Allen. Okay? Josh Allen cannot be a pocket quarterback. He's never been that accurate. One of the things that made him more accurate was his ability to run, his ability to make plays outside the pocket. And so now he says he's going to sit in the pocket more. He's never been that guy. There was questions when he came out of the into the league about his accuracy. And so now all of a sudden he's going to be a pocket passer? Like, no, you can't. You have to be you. You have to be who you are. Does he have to be more careful? Sure. But he still has to be him. How about not trying to run over people? Like, you can do what you do, but be better at it and safer at it. So when I hear Josh Allen say he's going to be a different quarterback, if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, that scares the hell out of me.
All right, let's get down to serious business here, Leroy Horde.
Okay.
I think Penn State could actually be a good football team this year. They got a whole lot of talent, but Hickey has already become insufferable, and he thinks they're going to beat Michigan this year. Can you tell him that he's a moron?
Yes. They don't call him Hot Take Hickey for nothing. Listen, you can rewind the tape from last year. You can rewind the tape from the year before. He's been consistent with that. And then after the game, I have to send him a little tweet or we'll talk. And then I have to talk him off the cliff and say, just wait till next year. Look, I have questions about Michigan. But, I mean, Penn State, you're not there yet. You're not, and I don't know what it is. They seem to have a lot of talent. They seem to have a lot of weapons. But what happens is that your star players not making the impact to win games as like other team star players. You see what I mean? It's like, yeah, you can have a player that has 15 sacks and 3 picks and just cause havoc on the field. Offense is scoring. And so it's hard to like, they have to put it all together.
Leroy, that coach just can't win a big game. He can't, James Franklin.
You know what? I look at it this way: players win games.
Okay.
Like you can put the great, you could put Nick Saban there. If he ain't got the talent, he ain't winning. And look at Alabama.
When they got the talent this year. They got talent this year. Penn State got some talent this year. That's the thing.
I always say let it play out. We'll know within the first 3 or 4 weeks what Penn State looks like. And then when we get to the Michigan game, then we'll have a conversation. But until I see these young men play football, I'm not just going to assume anything. I'm not.
Gotcha. And also, Harbaugh, it's ridiculous what the NCAA is doing. 4 games over a burger.
You do realize that Tennessee did the same thing and got a slap on the wrist. And they say the difference was that Harbaugh lied.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't? You ever met Honest Abe? Oh, you know what? I cheated. I'm sorry. I maybe have did something that was not permissible. Who does that? Stop. They need to. One of the things why people, you know, criticize the NCAA is because there's no consistency with how they do this.
It's pick and choose.
Right. And so if you're a Michigan guy, you know, you could be upset about it. And you notice, they never said he got suspended for a decline. He didn't get suspended for the infraction. He got suspended for lying. Now, come on. That's just crazy. Meanwhile, it's a shootout at the OK Corral with this NIL, and because they didn't jump on it first, they got no control over it. Now you're going to suspend somebody for recruit violation when kids are coming in making $200,000-$300,000 over what, a cheeseburger?
Yeah, I heard they had some lettuce and tomato on it, too.
Wait. Cheese and bacon. If he would have just got the cheese, he would have been okay. But he added the bacon, and that was too much.
Leroy Horde, you're the best. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, brother.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Philly starter Taiwan Walker became the first pitcher this season to get 12 wins as he tossed 6 2/3 of two-run ball in Philadelphia's 4-2 win over the Marlins on Monday. Walker tied a career high in victories with 12 and has allowed 2 earned runs or fewer in 9 of his last 13 starts. Give him a stock up. We will keep it moving, and we will get to the Houston Astros, who I told you, they are my pick to go to the World Series right at the All-Star break. I said AL wide open. Until someone beats the Astros when it matters, I'll go with them. And today, they acquire Justin Verlander. Reacquire Justin Verlander. And that makes me feel even more confident about the Astros' chances of going to the World Series and winning the AL pennant. So give the Astros a stock up. DeMar Hamlin, for the first time since his unfortunate cardiac arrest yesterday, practiced in pads for the Buffalo Bills. He will be comeback player of the year this year, as he should be. And it's just amazing to see how much progress he made, because we all feared the worst when we saw that horrible incident that did occur in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. So give a stock up to DeMar Hamlin. Let's go to Pete Thamel on ESPN. He discusses the potential TV options for the Pac-12.
I don't think there's going to be a linear finish to this. I do think it's going to drag out a little longer. So I don't think anyone's either exiting or banding together. But the good news for George Kalafkoff is, after a year of a protracted deal and missteps, he brought to the table today a potential deal with Apple. Sources told ESPN that the deal is a primary streaming deal, which could give schools some pause, as a linear aspect was always going to be a critical piece of the deal going forward. But with the Apple deal, they would align themselves with a prominent streaming partner. And the money, although initially may be below where the Big 12 is expected to start in their deal in 2025, $31.7 million, there's potential through subscriptions via Apple TV to go past that Big 12 number. Again, we're still in the hypothetical stage. There's a lot of conversation. I think people have to digest things back on campus, so I don't expect anything imminent tonight. Mm-hmm. But at least finally, a deal has been presented, and there's some clarity of what it could look like.
Hickey, let me ask you a question here. Do you know what potential means?
The possibility. The chance.
Yeah, it means you haven't done it yet. So when you hear, oh, they have the potential to surpass the Big 12 if they get a certain amount of subscriptions, what makes the Pac-12 so attractive? And what makes you want to subscribe to Apple TV if you have USC leaving, just for starters, right? I know it's Colorado, whatever, UCLA as well. But what am I going to subscribe to? I like Washington. I like Oregon. Arizona. Like, what is there to watch? And I think it's going to be a good year for the Pac-12. That's a shame of it. I know this is for the future. But if I'm a Pac-12 school, Colorado just left. USC's leaving. UCLA is leaving as well. Do that. Go where it's guaranteed from a money standpoint, to the Big 12, to the Big 10, where the TV deals are enormous. Go do what's in the best interest for yourself. Not trying to bond together to save the Pac-12. It was either going to be the Big 12 was going to fold or the Pac-12 was going to fold. The Big 12 got their damn act together. The Pac-12 is late to the party. Too little, too late. Stock down to the Pac-12. See this new ESPN booth for basketball? Now, I thought Mark Jackson was still going to be a part of it. He's now out. We know Jeff Van Gundy is out. So it's going to be Mike Breen, Doris Burke, and Doc Rivers. Could be a really good booth. But is it going to be better what you just had? Not in my opinion. So stock down to the decision makers at ESPN. And finally, this really annoys me. Not every team in sports, when they trade a player, release a player, player signs somewhere else, needs to give a thank you post. Justin Verlander's a legendary pitcher. He pitched half a season for the Mets. And the Mets have to give this guy a thank you post? Well, what are the moments going to be in the tribute video whenever he comes back to Citi Field? Him and Kate Upton smooching when he got introduced as a member of the Mets? He was there for a half a season. We don't need a thank you post to Justin Verlander. Stock down to the thank you post. It's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Jerry Hairston Jr. for joining us. JT the Brick, Leroy Horde, Hot Take Hickey for producing this extravaganza, and each and every one of you for listening and participating to the show. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. All right, we out. Bye-bye. Have a great night. Peace.